Governor Pritzker and Illinois lawmakers will be busy this week as the spring legislative session closes on May 31st. Partisan bickering has erupted over the newly drawn legislative map as other important issues remain unresolved. Now, here to help us make sense of what's happening in Springfield this week is WTTW Chicago Tonight correspondent Amanda Vinicky. Hi, Amanda.
Hey there.
And our own government and politics reporter is with us, WBEZ's Tony Arnold. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start off with one top priority this week, and that is approving a new state budget. This will be a big one as legislators figure out how to close a $1.3 billion deficit. So what are you both hearing? Tony, you first.
The short answer is that things are rosier than anticipated. And whether that's because those who crunched the numbers kind of thought things were going to be worse than they were because of the pandemic and, you know, name your issue from the last 12 months here. Or it's just because revenues are, you know, looking better and things aren't quite as bad. The shorter answer is, you know, when you look at a budget, probably the top line that I'm looking for is what's going to happen to your taxes. It doesn't look like taxes are going to go up, you know, right now. And so that's I guess, a positive here. As far as some other cursory issues, there's issues about, you know, how much money is available to pay unemployment benefits. And I know that's kind of one of the big outstanding issues. There's also this call that the governor's made to close what he's referring to as corporate loopholes. Republicans call them job creator initiatives. And so there's a question about what happens to those if the revenue estimates aren't quite as bad as originally thought.
What budget talks are you hearing, Amanda?
You know, I'm aligned with Tony on just that picture. Big takeaway, again, it doesn't seem as if people are going to be having to reach deeper into their pockets or bank accounts. And that's really in large part thanks to the federal government coming through with rescue money for all states, including Illinois. This could have been a really, really incredibly tough time for Pritzker and legislators. And instead, that money coming through is really a major savior. So while there are going to be some, you know, debates and discussions, you have some, particularly on the Democratic side, who want to spend more money. And they say at this time of pain and hurt, where people are really suffering as hopefully this pandemic is coming to a close, mm-hmm. that now is not the time to reduce programming at all. And then on the other side, people saying, hey, we got a deficit. What are we going to do here? And as Tony mentioned, these tax loopholes, are they job creators at a time where, again, people are going to be looking for work? So there's going to be a conversation. There's going to be a debate. But this is we're going to see a budget. This is not going to be something where where Tony and I on June 1st are saying, oh, no, and we're looking at Illinois going back to the rounder age of being without a spending plan.
Yeah, Tony, they're also debating how to spend $8 billion in coronavirus relief money, right?
I think that's the number. And, you know, I think these numbers they keep changing, but I think that's about right. Some of that money from the federal government's already been dictated about how the state spends it.
Okay.
But, you know, the other challenge that the governor's been dealing with is last year we had to the state borrowed money to kind of keep things afloat, and, you know, a few billion dollars. And now the question is, how does the state pay that money back to the Federal Reserve? The governor wanted to use some of the federal relief money to basically pay the federal government back. And he's saying, well, you know, by their own rules that they set in D.C. that I can't control, they're telling me that I can't use the money that they're giving me to pay them back. And that doesn't make any sense. So he's, you know, that's another kind of lower level issue, I would say, that is out there as far as, you know, there's a question now about how the state pays the bills,
right,
that it owes at this point.
Let's move on to the redistricting issue. Amanda, remind us why the legislative map is being redrawn in the first place.
Because it has to. Every 10 years, this is something that happens, not just in Illinois, but all across the United States. Illinois, however, does it a little differently. All states do. But in Illinois, and why this is really important, Sasha, is because it, right now, the legislators themselves draw their own district boundaries. And legislators that specifically, in Illinois' case right now, and really in recent memory, Democrats, because they hold supermajorities and, of course, control the governor's office as well. And so it has to happen on the heels of a census this year. Really a little strange because the census data isn't coming in yet. And so while Illinois' constitution does set a deadline, it's actually the end of June, but session ends May 31st. So that's why we're really looking at the end of this month as the deadline for it to get done for maps. Otherwise, then Democrats really have to share power with Republicans. And that is something that they don't want to do.
What happened on Friday?
They're going to do a fair map, but...
Yeah. What happened on Friday, Amanda, with the legislative map?
We got our first glimpse of what Democrats are looking to do, the initial draft. And that actually, so that came Friday night, and those were pretty tough maps to read. I mean, PDF files that you can't really manipulate, and it wasn't street level data. We did, however, get a release of the Google map version. So if you want to look at that, it's online. I tweeted it out yesterday. We got that. So you can sort of get to a more granular level. My suspicion is that this is just, as I described it, a first draft, that there will be some changes, and presumably Democrats intended for that to happen. A lot of community groups say that they wanted to see the maps before any votes were taken. We're going to have some hearings this week. Republicans already pushing back because you can certainly see a lot of places where incumbent GOP legislators are drawn into districts where they'll need to run against one another, and don't see that all that much on the Democratic side. And so we're going to, not necessarily, this is not it, but I think no matter what, it's going to be really fascinating to play out because it really does have a huge ramifications, not just for, okay, one vote, these are the maps, for the next decade to come in terms of where the lines of power are drawn and who, what party in cases really even right now, what specific politician has an advantage heading into elections.
If you're just tuning in, this is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and I'm talking with WTTW Chicago Tonight correspondent Amanda Vinicky and WBEZ's government and politics reporter Tony Arnold. Tony, something else legislators are debating that kind of hits close to home for Chicagoans, that's the two elected school board proposals. Can you tell us about these?
Yeah, I think actually there are two, and I think one is probably more outdated than the other at this point. The initial version had the city being broken up into many different districts, I think more than 20 districts that, you know, each part of the city would elect their own member to a school board, and then there would be one overall board president that the whole city would vote on. There's since been negotiations going on between the union and the city, the mayor's office, CPS, and it seems like that number is going to be coming down. This hybrid model is developing where initially there would be a board that would be partially elected and partially appointed by the mayor. Then that, after a few years, would be phased out and it would be a fully elected board. This seems to be gaining traction. But look, this is all with a caveat. I can't think of another issue that has had more games played with it in Springfield than the elected school board, where one version passes the House, another version passes the Senate, and then they say, okay, we all voted for it, you know, I can't help what the other chamber does, and then they all go home, and nothing passes. Nothing gets signed to the governor or sent to the governor. It seems like things maybe are different this year. This is one of those issues that it's been around for so many years, and every year it's kind of like, I don't know if this is going to be it or not.
Yeah.
It seems like it is. It's really just kind of hard to say. I could see this whole thing falling apart like it has before. I also could see it coming together for once, finally, and after all these years of debate, and maybe this is actually the time. It's just coming at an interesting time considering the very volatile relationship that this mayor has particularly had with the teachers union.
Well, to that end, Amanda, tell us what impact an elected school board would have on how Chicago schools are run.
That is going to be really interesting to watch. One of the big fears by, of course, the mayor is that she would lose control. And then there's also a lot of critics who worry that this is going to give the teachers union even more power than it already does. CTU really, of course, holding a whole lot of sway. The question being, who's going to finance all of these races and what sort of people are you going to get that? Who will their backers be? Who is going to turn out for a race like this? You go back to something like a 21-member board. That's really hard to get folks to focus attention on issues like this. And then there are further questions as to what this means for parents of students who are undocumented and whether they'll have a role in place on the board and representation. So there's a whole lot of discussions, but if this would happen, it would most certainly flip the dynamic of CPS in a very major way. And community groups say that would be for the better, that this would give greater voice to parents, to people who are on the ground. But again, critics say, you know what, community in this case is really just another word for CTU.
Amanda, sticking with you for a moment, there's also a clean energy bill. Can you tell us more of the details there?
No, because there isn't an agreement quite yet.
Okay.
And it is a very complex topic, not just because, it's energy policy, period,
right,
but also because there are political dynamics at play, and more so, that's always the case, but even more so because of the ComEd corruption scandal. So you have energy policy intertwined with, as Tony and I kind of started out this conversation talking about, people are always wanting to know, what does this mean for my own personal finances? This could mean bigger ComEd bills at a time when, again, we're seeing ComEd in the headlines for having engaged in what the company admitted was
right,
a decade-long bribery scheme. So the long and short of it is that there is an effort by ComEd parent company Exelon to get additional subsidy money tacked on to ratepayers' bills in order to keep open nuclear plants. And that dovetails with a conversation trying to support renewable energy and get Illinois on the path to, by 2050, having 100% renewable energy, or at least clean energy. And that's, again, where the nukes play in. Mm-hmm. And so there's that part of it. And then, once again, also the ethics component, and that there's more than just the energy mm-hmm. ethics, but that is what the governor is trying to pitch being part of this. So you've got a whole lot of interest, again, the governor's office, unions, and environmental activists all really involved in these conversations.
Well, before I let you both go, let's just briefly touch on the police reform law. Tony, it's supposed to go into effect in July, and of course, law enforcement isn't very happy with it as it stands, right?
That the legislature passed earlier this year through a big push from black legislators, and Springfield, basically the House and the Senate didn't meet much at all last year because of the pandemic. They basically just didn't pass anything, and so there's this huge buildup from all of the racial justice issues that had been building over the summer last year. They kind of all came through in Springfield in January, and police and law enforcement, with the exception of basically Kim Fox's office, really opposed a lot of this these measures that were, it's too many to go down right now. But
yeah,
there are, you know, some of the big things are, you know, ending cash bail is one example, but of what's in there. But you know, I think that at this point it's going to be going into effect. It's one of those things where I can see them tinkering with this over the next few years. But that's, you know, that was passed and signed by the governor. I think everything that we're talking about, it's just, you know, these are major issues, whether it's energy or just representation in over the next 10 years or the elected school board. These are all issues that are going to be resolved in some way or another in the next 7 days. It's just how Springfield operates. Yeah. And why we're talking about this, it's, they save it all for the end. And then, you know, it makes for this just giant crush of covering all this, these major issues that affect our lives. And I didn't even mention the state budget, you know, and it's just, it's the final week here. It's all going to be coming to a head, and I can't tell you how any of this is going to shake out. It's just one of those times where you just grab the popcorn and sit back.
Right. Yeah. It's all coming to a head, as you said, in the next week. And certainly so much is at stake that it's hard for us to sort of pinpoint it all in 14 minutes, but you both did a wonderful job. Thank you. That is WBEZ's government and politics reporter, Tony Arnold. Also with us, WTTW Chicago Tonight correspondent, Amanda Vinicky. Appreciate your time.
Want more context on the top issues of the day? Find the podcast, WBEZ's Reset, wherever you listen.